IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. I'm absolutely thrilled to welcome back in the studio our very first guest from Paisa Paisa. Those of you who've been listening to us would recall that back in 2017, when we switched from the monologue to a dialogue, my very first guest was Mahavir Chopra. At that time, he was in CoverFox, I think. And now he is the CEO and founder of Beshak. And since then, over the 5 years, he's also been coming quite often on our show. One of the best, absolute best guys in insurance that you can find. We are going to talk about a lot of stuff, what Beshak is doing, the importance of an advisor, and some majorly tricky problems in health insurance, life insurance, and a lot of that right after this break. And welcome back. Mahavir, welcome back. Yaar. You know, I'd like to think of you as my lucky bunny. First guest of Paisa Vaisa, and you've been on the show for such a long time. Keep on coming. The last we met, I think we were doing the Hindi Aapka Paisa Vaisa.
Yep. And the pandemic.
No, I mean, you know, I'm just thrilled that you started Beshak. It's something that you deeply believe in. So let's first start with Beshak. And folks, okay, disclosure, I'm on the advisory board of Beshak. Don't worry, it's not a paying job. But I'm just glad to be there with quite a few like-minded folks. Mahavir, tell us about Beshak.
Yeah, thank you for having me again, Anupam. It's always a pleasure to be at the IVM studio as well as interact with you. Beshak is obviously very close to my heart because it's something that I've put my 15-16 years of my experience in it. My 15-16 years of experience told me that there are major trust issues that people have with insurance, right? Everybody has had some issue with insurance in their lives, right? They've been either been missold a policy, there have been issues in terms of claims, or we hear also a lot of bad things about insurance. From that perspective, when I interacted with so many customers while I was working with multiple companies, and I've been working in this space for almost 16-17 years now, what I realized is that this trust issue is not getting solved even by digital and online. So I basically saw that despite digital insurance coming in, right, digital could have solved for trust issues that people have with insurance, specifically because it could have been much more transparent, much more easier for people to understand. But however, it's still not solved is what I saw while I worked with so many companies, right? So I thought this entire problem has to be looked at with a completely new lens. It cannot be looked at with the same lens because you can't solve the same problem while being in the problem. So that's where we went to the basics and tried to understand what are the problems that customers face, right? There are two basic problems that customers face. One is that customers are not able to understand insurance, very basically, right? It's a very boring product and it's a very, very heavy fine print product, right? So people don't understand insurance. So that's one major cause why trust issues exist. And the second is basically that, I'll tell this in Hindi because this will have a much more impact in Hindi, yeah. Is that, you know, policy lene ke time pe sab mere piche piche aate hai, lekin claim ke time pe mujhe bhagna padta hai sabke piche, right? That's the emotion of that is people will understand if they have ever expressed or seen people going through this, right? So people chase you while you're buying a policy, but when you have to finally claim, you have to chase people, you have to call centers, you have to go to branch offices. So these two problems are the main problems that I think insurance has, and these are the two problems that we're solving with Beshak. The first problem is that of complexity, right? We're solving it by being an unbiased platform. So unbiased is a very abused word, if I can use that and say that. Unbiased can mean multiple things, but according to us, unbiased basically means that you are completely conflict free. You have no linkage to anybody and you are giving information to the recipient just for their benefit and there is no other linkages, right? So we've achieved that by being not a distributor. So we have not taken a distribution license. It's a very big call to not take a distribution license. We are the only player in the InsurTech space which does not have a license, right? That's the first thing. The second thing is the claims problem, right? Where you basically face issues in terms of that, where do I go when there is a claim? The insurer has its own conflict of interest when it has to pay you a claim, right? So how do you solve for a claim? So how do you get a person who has the right expertise and also the skin in the game to solve for that problem, right? And that can be solved only when we saw all the kind of people that exist in the space of insurance. We saw that a professional advisor, and not all of them, but a certain set of professional advisors who have a skin in the game, who want to run based on reputation. These are people who can actually handhold customers for a long, long term that an insurance policy exists. So we bought these two things together, right? We bought complexity problem solved with simplified content. And we've got a very, very strong community of financial advisors who basically handhold a customer from purchase to claims, right? Forever. So when you look at both these problems getting solved, ke mujhe policy samajh mein aa gaya, or I have someone to take care of my claims, then I can trust insurance. And that's the problem we are trying to solve.
So folks, the portal is beshak.in, right?
Beshak.org.
Yeah?
.org.
Beshak.org.
Yeah.
So the portal is beshak.org. .org, beshak.org. Right. There's no app as yet so far.
No, there's no app.
And tell us about how the portal works. Like, let's say that I want to buy car insurance or health insurance.
Yep.
How does your, you know, portal handhold me through the process?
Right. So the immediate thing that you do when you come on a Beshak's portal is that you first choose a financial advisor. That person is now going to be with you across the entire process of buying insurance. You yourself choose it. Like when you go to any other portal, the system basically throws a call center guy to you, right? Here you are choosing a professional advisor who could have basically 10 years experience, 15 years of experience. It could be a veteran, or you're looking for someone who's a 5-year experience but with a very highly qualified. You could basically make a mix match and choose a financial advisor. After you choose the financial advisor, you can set up a call on our platform. So you set up a call, you do the first call, explain your, you know, problems, your questions, you understand everything. Then the advisor will basically sit with you and generate a report from Beshak for you. Now this report, mind you, is not a report that the advisor creates. It's a report that advisor generates on Beshak platform. So the Beshak report is a completely research-driven, unbiased report that comes from our research team. It does not come from any of the advisors that way. So you get a report which will tell you, you know, everything about what kind of insurance you should buy, and also tell you exact plans that are matching your requirements, right? Now you can choose from any of these plans and buy it from the financial advisor. As soon as you buy it from the financial advisor, the advisor is now basically impaneled with you to basically take care of your policy. Now, every problem that you have with that policy, he's going to be with you, including when there are claims, right? So that's the process that is followed when you come on Beshak and want to buy a policy.
So help me understand this, right? Yeah. Because these advisors who are there, you're helping me choose them.
Yep.
Is there a revenue model out here? Do I pay you to access this pool of advisors? Do I pay the advisors for the service they give me? Are you involved in that? Let's clarify that.
Yeah, so this is a very, very important question. Thank you for asking this, Anupam. So the thing is that a lot of people feel that, okay, how can you remain unbiased? At the same time, how can you basically earn money? Because we are not a not-for-profit, right? We are a for-profit organization. Then how do you make money, right? It sounds too good to be true. So from that perspective, it's very simple. What we've done is that, A, we don't make money out of any kind of commissions. We don't make money from any kind of advertising, referrals, affiliate money, nothing from an insurance or insurance platform which can influence our content. Mm. So our content is 100% uninfluenced. So this is how we don't make money. How we make money is from the advisor community. So we basically charge an advisor for the access that they are getting on our platform, the infrastructure that we are creating for them, the presence that we are giving them. So we basically charge from the financial advisor. Customer never pays a dime or a rupee when they come on our website. That way forever.
So I'm confused out here. We are living in an era where everybody just hops onto YouTube or gets the influencer's view on what to do, what to buy. Yeah. How does it work for the advisor community? You mentioned a rating or a description. Correct. How do I don't even know how to judge or rank these advisors. Okay.
Right.
I want to ask you two questions here. One, obviously, is how do I choose the advisor? And two, why do you think you even need an advisor, given that all of us apparently love to do things on our own?
So. Right. Yeah, so if you look at the entire financial products, if you're only talking about financial products right now, right? So there are two kinds of products. There are some products which could be very, very transactional, right? Like take a car insurance for that matter, right? So car insurance may the stress that you have to take or to research a product and the chances of it going wrong are very, very low. Right, you can simply choose one of your favorite brands, look at the price or sabse sasta, whatever you're seeing, you can go and buy. Right, if you don't like it, next year you can change. The products that we are talking about are complex financial products where you are married with those products. You're not going to be able to change those products whenever you want to. Right, so you typically, when you buy a health insurance, you cannot change the health insurance plan. You can't just go and next year say, aaj maine ek plan liya, next year I'll buy from B brand and next year from C brand. There are a lot of restrictions, complications, paperwork that is involved. So from that point of view, when the product is very complex, you just can't go shopping for it, is what we feel. We feel that because the product is very complex, because the product cannot be reversed, the decision cannot be reversed, you need to do important amount of research and also have an expert on your side. If you have these two things, then your decisions which you are taking, even if they are irreversible, will be having a very, very high chance of not going wrong, right? So from that perspective, we feel that an advisor is super, super important, specifically for complex products. The second, which is most important, is that please understand that insurance is not like you are taking a food delivery, right? Jab hi aapne claim kiya, to you will get a kind of a nice map on your phone, which will tell you a claim is coming to you, right? It's not like that. It is completely, completely offline. And I would this is slightly brutal for me to say it, but insurers have really not invested, not many insurers have invested to solve for seamless claims today. So paperwork, follow-ups, all this is very common in insurance. And I'm seeing this for now, privatization has happened, 20 years have happened, right, of privatization. Still things are very, very close to what they were probably 10 years ago. So from that perspective, then you have to choose whether you are okay, you would have the bandwidth, the time, the energy to basically go and follow up if something goes wrong. If anything does not go wrong, fine, it's okay. But if anything goes wrong, if anything in your claim ends up going wrong, then you will need someone on your side, right? Insurer is not going to be on your side when things go wrong, right? Very, very clearly. Insurer has its own interests. It has its own shareholders to serve, right? So you will have to have someone on your side, right? So when you don't take an advisor, the call that you're taking, you have to understand is that A, there will be nothing that will go wrong. And B, if anything goes wrong, mere paas time hai, I will basically be able to solve it. I will go and fight. All this is coming to you for free. Why would you not take it, right? When you have an expert on your side, why will not take it when you're not paying even 1 rupee extra?
Yeah.
So it makes all the sense that it can, right?
Does the advisor earn any money from the policy he's selling to you?
Yes.
That's also transparent.
Yeah, it is transparent. Meaning by regulation, nobody has to inform an advisor, a customer, that what is the exact money that is making. But IRDA has made it very clear on its website what kind of commissions are earned. So advisor makes money by commissions from the insurer. But the conflict that could have arisen out of the advisor choosing a plan, that we have removed it and put it out of the way, because the plan recommendations happen from Beshak, right? So while advisors earn money from the insurer, but the insurer is not able to influence the advisor to recommend products because advisor does not recommend products.
Yeah. So you really believe in the concept of advisors. What's been the feedback so far? When did you guys launch?
So the advisor community platform, we launched in December and we've got really great, you know, response in terms of the problem that I saw when I have run a lot of call center led platforms is that customers come in, they speak once, and then suddenly they realize that, oh, this is not the person I can trust for a 25 year policy, right? So they drop off. That's not happening here. It's definitely not happening here. People are having conversations. People may not end up buying probably right now, but because it's a kind of a product which needs a lot of decision making, right? But we are seeing so many conversations that are happening, and very, very deep, rich conversations that are happening. So we are seeing that a problem that was unsolved is right now solved. There was no access of these people that you could have reached out to them directly because there's no way to find out who's good, who's bad. So that's something that we've solved. So we've done close to around 400 transactions between December and March, December and mid-April actually.
And do you have a rating system for advisors? I hope that doesn't create any issues, you know, ki iska 5-star rating hai, uska 3-star rating hai.
There is a ranking. There is a ranking based on how rich the profile is, how good the advisor is, how much he is contributing to the community. So we have a forum where people can come and ask questions, and then advisors, experts can answer those questions. So from that perspective, all these things put together, there is a score that we give advisors, and basis that they are listed on the platform.
And these advisors are registered insurance agents.
Yeah. Sure. All of them are proper licensed advisors. We do a proper detailed verification. So there are three layers of verification. One is the paperwork, licensing, everything. Then there is a check on basically reference check with their customers. And then the third one, which is basically doing an interview with them. So we do a proper interview with them to basically understand their approach, what they do, what kind of policies they sell, what kind of policies will they cross sell, because there are so many policies which shouldn't be cross sold, right? So
And how many advisors do you have in your platform?
So right now we have close to around 60-65 advisors only. We have a wait list of around 50-55 advisors, which we've not onboarded because we are still basically trying to test the product with 50-60 advisors that way.
Fantastic. So folks, on the other side of this break, we're going to take a break now, and on the other side we're going to talk about some very common problems and issues that all of us face in insurance, whether it's car insurance, health insurance, life insurance. I like how you put that car insurance, chalo, theek hai, simple product. Hey, bhai, flood word ho jata hai, and your car goes for a toss, and then suddenly you find that your claim has not been passed, an act of God or something of that sort. So folks, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on this episode of Paisa Vaisa. And welcome back. So Mavi, two things here. One is that you tweet a lot about, you know, common insurance problems that people face. And you've also got a forum on Beshak where there, I'm sure, are a lot of conversations around insurance. On this part of the episode, I want to focus on health and I want to focus on life. On health, let me pick up from one tweet, I think that you put out a couple of weeks back or just maybe last week, about declaring your health to your insurer.
Yep.
I think you got a reply from someone saying that in this policy, it specifically states that talk to us about that.
So the thing is that when you buy a policy, first of all, you are supposed to declare everything to the insurer. Wherever they give you an opportunity to tell, to inform, like for example, it could start from a filling a form to basically maybe an insurer calling you to there being a medical test. And at the medical test center, there could be a doctor who could ask you questions. All those places, you typically need to answer as in as much detail as possible and give extreme level of information that you can give, right? So don't basically withhold any information. That's very, very clear. Now, this question is very different. This question is that after I bought the policy, what happens, right? If I have a disease or if I start smoking or if I move to a different geographical location, if I migrate to, let's say, another country, then what do I do, right? The common answer of this question is that there is no insurance policy, there is including life and health, which actually tells you whether you have to inform an insurer or not. In that case, you don't need to inform any insurer, right? Very clearly, because if they had to ask you to inform, there should have been two things. One, there should have been information about it on the policy document. And second, there should have been a process, right? ABC is the way to inform an insurer. But both these things don't exist actually today. Now, there are but some insurers, like you rightly said on the tweet, there was someone who replied saying that, hey, you know what, this specific insurer has mentioned in their policy that you'll have to inform us. So yes, you will have to then be careful about looking at the policy document and seeing if your insurer is asking you to do this, right? How do you solve for this is one that if you have an advisor, ask the advisor, right? Go through the wordings yourself if you can. It is difficult, but if you can, it would be great. And the third is basically be very careful when you're renewing your policy or upgrading your policy. There will be questions around this, right? If an insurer is saying so clearly that you need to inform, then they would have created some process. So process dekho, and you ensure that every question that you are answering, just don't go next and pay and try to be in a hurry to solve your, you know, and move to the next thing that you want to do. Be careful and ensure that you answer every question very clearly. A lot of places, insurers could by default say, I don't have any disease, and it could be already pre-checked, right? And you just have to click next and it will move right to the next page. But you have given a declaration. Even without giving a declaration, you have given a declaration. So be very careful of that. If you're careful about these things, I don't think it is going to make a difference. By ensuring that you have figured out whether the document has any question or any requirement about information to be given to an insurer after buying a policy. And second is while doing a renewal or while doing an upgrade, right? Both these cases. And third is portability. In all these three cases, be very careful about filling any form, giving any information to the insurer, and you'll be in a safe space. You'll not have a problem then.
Yes, I'm going to just recap that for our listeners. One, be as honest as you can, folks. When you're taking a health insurance policy, be as honest and as upfront as possible with declaring everything that's wrong with you head to toe. A lot of people that I know, you know, they think that answering questions like casual smoker means not smoking, drinking and all that, only on weekends and stuff like that, all the way to, you know, hypertension, diabetes, which is fairly prevalent in India, of course, at a later stage in life. So there's your tip number one, is be honest in your health insurance policy. These things have a way of coming back and biting you in the posterior. Second is talk to your advisor.
Right.
Okay. Whoever's handholding you through this entire process, please talk with him. And he should be able to guide you on the fine print out there. And third is read this for yourself. You know, just health insurance is a complicated product, right? But you should spend that much of time in that. So those are the three tips for you folks. What else, Mahavir? Anything on hospitalization? You know, it's been 2 years since COVID. Hopefully, you know, let's just hope that the worst of it is over. The insurance industry, the healthcare industry, the advisor community has learned a lot in insurance in this last year. Any trends or any discussions that you're seeing out there? Any learnings? Stuff like room rent, you know, because that's always a hot topic. People go to the hospital, and that's among the worst of times for you to sit and think about whether my room rent is going to be cleared or not, copay, stuff like that. So just, you know, anything on that.
Sure. So I'll basically talk about a couple of things that are learnings from the pandemic, right? The first thing that people realize is that not all kinds of hospitalizations are covered under insurance. Now, this will probably alert a lot of people, but it is important to understand this, is that there is a definition of what kind of hospitalizations are covered under insurance. And it specifically mentions that the hospitalization has to be necessary and it has to be prescribed by a proper medical practitioner, right? If it is not these two things. Plus, if it is not, there is no active treatment that is happening, which is basically that there is some curative treatment that is happening while the patient is in the hospital. If these three things are not happening, so for example, if someone is in the hospital just being monitored, right, for some specific health issue that he has, what or she has, and there is no cure that is happening, like for example, there's no medication that is happening.
So this is like, you know, you have someone whose BP shoots up.
Exactly.
Go to the hospital, exactly. In the casualty, in the emergency, and the doctor tells you, we'll observe you for 24 hours.
Yep.
So and nothing happens. You know, it's great. You're absolutely clear.
Correct.
Go back home and that's it.
This will not get paid.
Makes sense, I think. Yeah. Okay.
So basically, insurance says that we will pay you for treatment, active treatment, right? It is specifically mentioned in policy. So in the pandemic period, a lot of people got hospitalized because they said that I want to basically stay away from my family.
Oh, yeah.
Or they said that, let me not take a risk, right? But doctors basically had the WHO and even AIMS had a specific chart which said so much oxygen, this kind of temperature, all those parameters, then you need to get hospitalized. Otherwise, you don't need to get hospitalized. And people's claims got rejected.
Oh, that would have been good. Yeah. That would have been tough. But for the serious ones where there was medical intervention required, those are fine.
Yeah, all those got paid, and this is something that people don't appreciate. But look at it from a point of view that insurers were not aware that this pandemic is going to come. It had a lot of, if I could use the word, experimental treatment that was happening in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Insurance policies clearly mentioned that experimental treatments is excluded.
Those cocktails and all that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So IRDA specifically stepped in and said that every COVID treatment will have to be covered, and hence insurers had to basically pay claims.
Huh.
Otherwise, it would have been very different. It probably first 6 months, there could have been cases where no claim would have been paid, right? Because everybody was stumped, right? Nobody knew what was going to happen. So I think this was a good thing that happened about insurance in the pandemic.
On the same lines, what about something like laparoscopy? You know,
gallstones
is again something that pretty much a lot of people have, but it's not, you know, a lot of doctors say that do not remove the gallbladder unless it is absolutely required. Yeah. Some people just want to press a button and say, chalo, usko nikalo.
Correct.
What about that?
So you are asking about whether these small hospitalizations are covered? Is that all?
You know, if I am going to a hospital to remove my gallbladder because the doctor told me to, okay, but I don't have any symptoms or anything.
Achha.
A lot of people, you know, kind of, let's talk about maybe plastic surgery or even that, what's it called? Bariatric? So a lot of that is slightly gray areas.
Correct.
Where the doctors are recommending but not recommending, and maybe it's optional, maybe. Mm-hmm. Is this a case-to-case thing?
Yeah. So, no, it's not actually a case-to-case thing. So, like, for example, another case would be LASIK, right? Like, both of us are wearing specs. So, LASIK hai ke bhai, I can't see without my spectacles, right? So, it's a cure, right? So, why don't you pay for it? So, these are very, very clearly mentioned in the policy.
That
and
they're
this
not
is
covered.
IRDA defined, not even defined by each insurer separately. It's standardized. So, it basically says that a particular number ke upar, if you have glasses, then number and whatever it is called. Sorry, I'm not a medical expert. So,
heavy-duty stuff, basically.
Heavy-duty stuff. If you have that kind of...
Soda bottle, I think.
Soda bottle.
No offense, guys. Just
to clarify. Yeah, so then it is payable. But for people like you and me, if we have like 2.5, 1.5, 0.25, 0.75, those kind of numbers, it is not payable. Similarly, when you said plastic surgery for, let's say, just to look better is not covered. But plastic surgery after burns is covered, similarly, bariatric surgery, if it is morbid, then it is covered, right? To a certain extent, there's a proper definition of it. If it is morbid, it is covered. If it is not morbid, it is just for you to look good, then it is not covered.
Yeah, I'm asking this because I don't know if you've noticed, but last couple of months, a lot of surgery places have opened up which give you like pamphlets and they... Mm. walk you through the entire process. Like, I'm insurance tak tumko ye kara ke denge. You know, and
I
can't remember what exactly those procedures are, but they just make it sound damn easy.
So I think what you're talking about are these quick surgeries.
Talking only about that. I'm not talking about the serious stuff and all that.
So you're talking about daycare surgeries,
which is also called daycare surgeries, where
you basically walk in and walk out in the same day. So these are basically, a lot of these are common surgeries, but most of them get covered under insurance.
Okay.
So typically, let's say a cataract, right? It's a same day exit, right? And let's say even angioplasty to a certain extent can be a same day exit, right? All these angiography again, right? These are payable under health insurance. So if you look at the theme, right, about the pattern, that anything which is cure oriented, treatment oriented, where it is basically going to harm your life or it's basically going to be a issue for your health, right? That is covered. But anything which is cosmetic, which is basically a choice, right? That is not covered. For example, maternity is again, in a certain sense, it is by choice, right? That you are basically wanting to have a baby. So that is not covered under health insurance. But complications, right? Some of these complications that happened with maternity, those can get covered.
Both of us have kids. I don't think we got our claims passed or we didn't even try at that point of time. Okay. Okay, Mavi, just two more questions in health insurance. Okay, let's talk about corporate for a while. Right. You know, one is the idea, a lot of people think that I've got corporate health insurance, I'm kind of sorted, stuff like that. Right. What are your views on that? And I'll ask the second one after you finish with this.
Sure. So I'm going to someday print a t-shirt which says company insurance is not enough, right? Because this is a question that is very, very common. But you'll be surprised to know that I have encountered people who are angel investors and series angel investors who don't know this, that having a corporate insurance is not going to be enough. Right. And there are three important reasons for that. One is that you look at it from, all these three reasons are assumptions that people are making. One is that I'm never going to fall ill. So I will always get a health insurance whenever I need it. Even if I basically retire, I'll get health insurance because insurance companies are very nice people. So they will give you insurance at any time. Second is that I'm never going to leave a company which provides health insurance. Right. So I will always work with a company which provides health insurance, and nice health insurance, very, very cool, big covers, and I will never have an issue, no restrictions in the policy, which is again not very true. Meaning I've seen very large companies which have curtailed their insurance when times are bad or the premiums shoot up, right? Very, very large companies which have great cash reserves, but still they have done it. And the third is basically that you feel that the policy that you've got is not controlled by you. It's again controlled by the CHRO of the company or the CFO of the company, and they could have a lot of issues by which they would want to basically change the policy or make changes in the policy, right? So all these three things basically put together basically clearly mean that you need to have your own personal health insurance. Like you have so many things that you won't take it from your corporate, so you'll not buy. Like me, if my company gives me a mobile, I'll still buy my own mobile, right? I've had those times when company said, get main dunga mobile, but we said, no, I'll buy my own mobile. So it's a personal thing. Health insurance also a personal thing. So always carry a personal health insurance for multiple reasons. You could leave, you could have a time when you are not working. There could be a reason for someone to quit a job. It could be basically that you get sick so much that typically, you may not get a health insurance forever. And third is the cover could get curtailed, right, by the employer because of multiple reasons. You never know. COVID has basically given us a clear understanding that anything can happen at any time.
Yeah. And masks are off and people are going back to their normal lives. But I think some things we should always keep in mind. Senior citizens. I think some companies now even have this thing that we'll cover one parent or two parents or something of that sort. But senior citizens is a bit tricky. Right, because they're not too many insurers out there who are willing to give insurance to someone who's 65 plus, 70 plus. And by that age, you have at least one, if not two, diseases which are tough. So talk to us about that.
Yeah, so very, very good question, Anupam. So the first thing about this is that you can get health insurance for senior citizens. It may not be the best of the policies in the market if there are health issues. But you can get good health insurance for senior citizens. There are multiple ways to get it. We've written about this on our website. So if typically anybody wants to search, they can search and find it out. One important myth that people need to understand, specifically who are getting covered from their employer insurance, is that a lot of people feel that, you know, my employer is covering me for my parents. So I will might as well not take a personal health insurance policy for my parents because it's a good cover. It covers me from day zero. Sub pre-existing disease covered. Everything is covered. So it's very good policy. Why should I buy a policy which has so many restrictions? But you have to understand that again, the same question, right? That would you continue with this company forever? Are you clear that, let's say if you retire and your parents are around, right? Then how will they get a policy? Where will they get a policy from? One more thing is that people feel that portability ho jayega. Right, that whenever I leave, I'll simply basically ask my employer to port me to a personal policy and I'll move out. But it is not so simple. Insurers, when they are receiving portability requests, they will evaluate the case as good as buying a new policy. And at that time, if there are major claims or any kind of claims history or any kind of medical history, it could lead to rejections. and then your parents could be basically without a cover. So it's a very, it's not a good decision to take, specifically for people who are senior citizens, where claims could happen at any time. Unfortunately, it could be a reality at any time, right? So from that perspective, it's a very big risk that anybody is taking to not cover their parents from a personal health insurance.
So folks, so there you go. Buy your own insurance and buy an insurance for senior citizens, which is widely available from what you're saying. And of course, check out beshak.org for the specific tips that Mahavir spoke about. Mahavir, winding up the episode now, last part, life insurance. What's happening out there?
Yeah, so life insurance, I think a lot of good stuff is happening. People have realized the importance of term insurance. So a lot of term insurance is being bought. But still, old habits die hard, right? So typically, you will see that even with term insurance, people are trying to game it and say that, okay, I should somehow get the claim. Right. So typically, you should buy a term insurance till the time you have dependents, right? Or till the time you have any kind of financial responsibilities that are active, which most of us, it ends at around 60, 65, right? Even if you have a home loan, if you've taken a 30 or 65, tak khatam ho jayega, all the other responsibilities you have will get over. But people are trying to buy policies till 85 and 99 because I know that I will die before 85. So let me buy a policy till 85, not 65. So that kuch to milega. Kuch to mere family ko milega.
Okay.
But what happens with this is that you pay more, right? It is unnecessary expense that you're incurring. And you're basically thinking that you're gaming the system. But what money you will get at 85, if you do a inflation calculation and time value money calculation of that, 5 lakh, 10 lakh rupee hoga. Your family is in fact going to frown upon it, in my view. So it might as well don't buy such kind of policies, right? There are then policies which return premium back to you, right? Which say that if you don't pass away, you don't die, तो तुम्हारा प्रीमियम हम वापस कर देंगे. नाउ यू हैव टू अंडरस्टैंड दैट प्रीमियम वापस करना मतलब कि आपने 20,000 रुपए भरे, 20,000 फॉर 20 इयर्स, सो यू पेड अप्रॉक्सिमेटली 10 लाख रुपीस. यू विल गेट 10 लाख रुपीस आफ्टर 20 इयर्स. तो 10 लाख रुपए का 20 इयर्स के बाद कोई वैल्यू नहीं होने वाला है. सो आई थिंक अंडरस्टैंडिंग दैट दिस इज अ रिस्क प्रीमियम दैट यू आर पेइंग एंड जस्ट पेइंग इट एंड फॉरगेटिंग इट इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट एंड ट्राइंग टू बेसिकली गेम विथ 5,000 crore company is not going to work, right? They are smarter than you. I please understand, at least from a finance point of view. So be conservative and ensure that you cover for the risk that you have and just don't try to game is my suggestion.
Okay, Mahavir, what's been happening on the claim side? Anything that you've been noticing there in the last couple of years? Has the life insurance industry generally become more customer friendly? Because every once in a while, we keep on hearing of some pretty tragic case where the insurance did not go through and, you know, the family really needed the money. Anything happening on that, or maybe claim processing, timing, stuff like that?
Yeah, so the truth is that in the pandemic, most insurers saw their claim shoot up by 4 to 5 times. Death claims went up by 4 to 5 times, and all of them have got alarmed, right? So every claim that came at that time specifically, the realization that I also got when I saw that, because obviously I have not seen such kind of a scenario occurring ever in my career, is that insurers can get very stringent if they are also basically seeing that, okay, this is now burning my book beyond a point, right? And then they try to nitpick, right? And try to find out reasons why you would have basically make some kind of misrepresentation, mentioned something wrong. So that is one important thing and an input that people should look at, is that be very, very diligent in answering questions with your insurer, and don't feel that, you know, there are certain laws that exist which will protect me. Like, for example, there is a law which says, Section 45 is the law, Section 45 of the Income Tax of the Insurance Act, which basically says that agar aapka 3 saal ho gaya, if you have completed 3 years in your policy, then your claim cannot get rejected. For even fraudulent reasons, if you made a misrepresentation also, the claim cannot be rejected. In the pandemic, we saw something very interesting. Even a claim which was 6 years old, right, and which actually legally should have got paid because of this law, even then went through an investigation and went through months of investigation, and the customer had to basically, and its family had to solve for it. When we spoke to these insurers offline and tried to understand, they said that if there is a fraud, then the fraud wala jo banda hai, he will run away, right? Because he'll see so much investigation is happening. Unfortunately, the reverse could also happen, right? A good guy could also run away because he will feel, oh, this is becoming very tricky, and probably it's just someone who's a very young spouse of a young person. And she could probably, and I'm not saying she or he, could probably feel jittery about it and say that, jaane do, right? And someone could not get a claim just because some 2-3 things are required. Like, insurers have asked for employment records, seeing that where was he working, what are the leaves that the customer took before he passed away, so that they get medical records of what was going wrong with him.
Wow.
All that. So that level, right? People can get jittery very easily, and these kind of claims can get affected. So ensure you maintain a good record of all your medical history. Ensure you have informed the insurer about everything. Ensure that you have informed your family about these things, that where you have kept these records, your policy records, all medical records, and every financial record that you have, right? If you do that, there's a good chance that you will not face a problem. And lastly, ensure that you have a good financial advisor. Honestly, I'm saying at these kind of junctures where you are facing an issue and the insurer is now anti you, right? You will need someone on your side.
Hmm.
And a financial advisor, a good financial advisor, will put his reputation at stake to ensure, I have seen this with my own, in my own experience, he'll put his reputation at stake to ensure that your claim gets paid. And there are good advisors who will fight for you.
Yeah.
So these three things, if you take care, I think a lot of these problems that people faced and I also saw for the first time can be solved.
Yeah. Okay. Last and final question, Mahavir. Savings plans, ULIPs, the usual, right? Mixing investment and insurance. Anything there? You have a point, right, of view on that?
Yeah.
Any questions being asked? Any activity on your forum on that?
Yeah. So I may give a very controversial answer here that it's not wrong to mix insurance and investment. And let me explain the entire thing. Don't jump from your chair. What I'm trying to say is that if you are aware of what you're exactly buying and this solves your problem, then it is not a problem. In my view, it's not wrong that you're buying such a policy. But you should be clearly knowing what you're getting into, right? Whatever you do, obviously, you should know what you're getting into. So three things that you should be clearly knowing when you're getting into such kind of policies, that A is that it's not going to be a one-year commitment. It's going to be a multi-year commitment. So ensure that, you know, you have understood your financial commitment. Ke bhai, ye paisa, I have to not pay 1 lakh rupees this year, which your banker or probably some salesman will come and tell you. You will have to pay it probably for 5 years. So are you aware that you have to pay this for 5 years? It's one thing that you should be understand very well. Second is your money is going to get stuck for a good period. There is a lock-in that exists, right? So understand that lock-in very well. And third, which is the most important in any investment, is understand what is the return. Taka kya mil raha hai tumko, right? If you're getting a return which makes sense to you and you are more concerned about protecting your capital, right? And theek hai, most of these policies will give you 4.5% to 5.5% interest over a period of 20 years.
IRR. Right?
And IRR over a period of 20 years, right? If it makes sense to you, okay, interest rates gir raha hai, sorry, I'm not an expert in that. But if it makes sense to you, 20 years, who will give me 5.5%? And plus you're getting insurance, it may make sense to you. But you have to understand this construct before getting into that kind of a product. And also obviously compare it with products that are available in the market. There could be a better product. There may not be a better product. And get a good financial advisor. Again, I may keep saying that, but get a good financial advisor who is in your interest going to tell you, okay, bhai, for your kind of persona, probably this product is good. And for your kind of persona, probably you should never touch these kind of products. So go with your own needs and understand that probably what the thumb rule says, that insurer investment ko mix mat karo, may be right, but it may be wrong for you, and probably taking that kind of product may be right for you. So I would not answer any, one thing that you should understand, and everybody who's listening to this, is that don't go by thumb rules, right? Understand and then take a decision.
Yeah, don't go by absolutes and understand the product and see if it fits your needs. If it does, then maybe it's... And of course, Mahavir, if I recall, a couple of years ago, you had come on Paisa Vaisa and you had spoken about online policies at that point of time.
Correct.
I remember HDFC Life was also on our show, and then had Vishal, and you had spoken about how there are certain features that actually solve the old problems.
Correct.
Like the old ULIPs that used to be there was definitely a problem with those.
Yep.
But over time, these products have been responding to changes in the market. But folks, that is a wrap on this episode of Paisa Vaisa. Always happy to have Mahavir Chopra. He is the founder and CEO of Beshak, BESHAK.org. Check out the forum, folks. And Mahavir, thank you. Thank you as always for coming here, taking out all the time for our listeners. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Anupam.
Yep. And listeners, thank you as always. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Paisa Paisa. If you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IBM network. You can listen to us on the IBM Podcast app or ibmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IBM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. Folks, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Paisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.